Open my Bible. I do open my Bible, but for time, I don't want to be here very long. I just want to share with you some thoughts from Matthew chapter 9, and I won't be able to do the whole sermon because of time, but I want to bring our thoughts back about missions, because a lot of people think that what I'm doing is not totally missions, but it is in a way, because we are involved in an institution that is sending out Christian workers to the world. And Jesus said in the Great Commission that we are to make disciples, teach them and baptize them and make disciples. Now, how do you do that? You do that by going out and getting people saved, and then you bring them into a local assembly, and then you train them, and then you disciple them, and then you send them out. And that's what we're doing at Monterey. We get kids from all walks. And some of our kids that come, some of them may think they're saved. We've had kids get saved during the semester at our school. And we are seeking to train these kids and disciple them. Now, if they're saved and baptized, we don't accept just people off the street. They have to be recommended by their pastors to come. But when they come, we are trying to do the biblical thing that the Great Commission teaches us to do, and that's to teach and train people so they can go out and reach other people for Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, it's a very familiar passage. The Word of God speaks about how Jesus was a model for how we should do missions. And in verses 35 through 37, these are very familiar verses. Probably you can quote these verses. I probably wouldn't even have to read them from the Word of God, but I will. And Jesus went out, chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, what happened to him? He had what? Compassion. He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. This is a cry of every missionary. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. If I was to talk to Brother Facenda, he would get up here and say, hey, come help us in South Korea. The laborers are few. If I talked to my friend, Brother Sudfin, he would get up here and say, you come help us in Uganda, because the laborers are few. There's a harvest there, but the laborers are few. And you have a guy like me that's been to Spain. I know the laborers are few there, because you can talk to Brother Andy and talk to Brother Randy. Your pastor's been there. You go all over Europe, there's few laborers. And in Mexico, we are constantly trying to train these laborers to reach out to the harvest. Do you realize that in Mexico that missions have been in that country since the 1800s? But that country is still steeped in darkness. But what's happening is, over the years, missionaries have gone and they have trained national pastors, and now national pastors are training other kids and sending kids to our schools. And we just keep reproducing. And that's missions, brother. I'm excited to be able to tell you that. But you know, what did Jesus want us to do? In verse 35, he wants us to go and wants us to serve. Jesus went. You know, he says he went to all the cities and villages. Now, where did he go? He went everywhere. You know, you have a city. I heard your pastor mention something about coming Thursday night to this program for whatever you're doing to help grow your church. You've got a mission field right here in Berryville, amen? And you've got your own Jerusalem right here in this community. And my question is, what are we going to do with our responsibility to go? The Great Commission is for everyone. It's not just for the pastor, it's not for the missionary, it's not for the Christian school teacher, it's not for the camp worker, it's for every believer tonight. Someone needs to be reaching someone for Jesus Christ. And I don't know how you do it, I don't know how, there's many forms of doing that. I'm not up here to give you the straight formula for doing that. But if you're saved, as our pastor says in Kansas City, you're saved to serve. I believe that, brother. You're saved to go out and serve other people and reach someone for Jesus Christ. What is the aim of missions? It's to preach and teach. It's very simple. In verse 36, he said, he went out and he was moved with compassion. And so, in verse 35, he said he preached the gospel and he was healing. Now, we don't have healing today as far as healing in the sense that we go out and heal people, but we can heal them spiritually if they get saved. People are dying in their sins and they're lost. And if we don't reach them with the healing power of Jesus Christ, they will not be saved. And we're like little medical doctors. And we have the formula to reach people if we just let Christ use us in some way to do that. And then what should be our attitude? Attitude in verse is reflected in verse 36. We should have compassion. You know, I don't think you can do anything for Jesus Christ unless you empathize, have compassion for what you're doing. And I think that Christians not only need to have compassion, they need to have a little bit of passion along with it. You know what's happening in our churches across America? And I travel. Your pastor travels, and I'm sure he sees this. I see little by little that the passion is dying in evangelism. The passion is dying to serve Jesus Christ. We've come full circle now through the 50s and the 60s. Remember back in the 60s and early 60s and early 70s, the big churches that were started and through the big Sunday school programs, and you had lots of people saved. And all of a sudden now we've come to the 80s and the 90s, and things have just kind of like leveled off. And, you know, folks, if we keep going the way we're going, about 50 more years, we're going to be just like England. Anybody, any of you guys been to England? I have. It's dead spiritually. A lot of times we are traditionalists. I hate to say that. We come to church and we're saved, but we do things because this is the way we've always done it. Or this is the way our mom and dad did it. This is the way our grandparents did it. And we have this great, great heritage. That's what we're losing in our country. We have gone away from what we were founded on, Christian principles. And it's killing us as a nation because we don't have the passion that we have for Jesus Christ as we once did. I often love to see people when they first get saved. Pastor, isn't that wonderful when you see someone that gets saved, they have that, what they call the first love, you know. And you ever see what happens in some churches? You know, this guy comes in, he maybe doesn't have a lot of... He's just real excited about God. The pastor says something from the pulpit, and he goes, "Amen," or whatever, and everybody's like, "Excuse me? In this church, we don't do that." And they kind of squelch the poor guy who's so excited about Jesus Christ. I would to God that we'd all be excited like that for Jesus Christ. Every day, all the time, excited what Jesus has done for you. Do you remember the day that God saved you? Do you remember the day that God turned your life around and did something for you? I remember that day in my life. I was 21 years old in a Bible college, spinning my wheels, going around in circles. And an evangelist came to our college and he preached for a week of evangelistic meetings. And I realized my lost condition. And I was one of those good old missionary kids. My parents were missionaries. And I was on the back row of that Baptist church. And I was holding on that pew. And I said, "I'm not going to go forward. I'm too proud. Everyone will laugh at me. They know my mom and dad. And they'll think I'm crazy." On the last stanza of that song, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," I let go of that pew. And I went down that long aisle of Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I got saved. And God changed my life. He changed my direction. He changed everything about me. And from then on, yes, have I had trials sometimes? Yes, have I had valleys? But I've never regretted having that salvation experience. And it's so wonderful to know that when I put my head on my pillow, that my destiny is in heaven. Amen. Another thing, quickly, and we'll close. You know, what is the appeal for missions tonight? In verse 37, the appeal is very quickly... When the harvest is there and we need laborers. Let me ask you a question. Are there any farmers in this church here? Anybody used to farm? Or had relatives that farm? Oh, well, that's good. I'm kind of getting to, if I keep saying something, maybe I'm raising, get a hand raised. We don't have a lot of farmers anymore anywhere, do we? But back in the old days, or even today, if you go out west or you go out, I know Indiana, we got lots of farmers because I drive through Indiana. I used to live there for many years on furlough. We had a lot of cornfields there. Well, I mean, let me ask you something, folks. What happens to harvest when you don't harvest it on time? What happens to the harvest?
It's lost.
It's lost. It just what? Decays. It dies. It's ruined. Equate that with how we are doing today in a world reaching people for Christ. You know, I realize that everybody can't go to South Korea. I realize everybody can't jump up and go to Uganda. Everybody can't go down to Monterrey, Mexico and help train young people to serve Jesus Christ. But you know, there's a harvest, and if we don't reach that harvest, it's just going to decay and die. And where's it going to die and decay? It's going to go to hell. Because we are not doing our responsibility for reaching them. And I want to encourage all of us. Stop and tell someone about Christ, even this week. Pass out a tract. Give someone the gospel. We need laborers. More than that, we need prayer. You know, we need praying churches that will keep our missionaries on the field, not off the field. We need missionaries to stay on the field. I noticed in my short tenure as a missionary pastor that when I was in Spain, that the newer missionaries have a hard time staying there. They go back and forth across the ocean, or they come and stay one term, or then they quit or leave. My dad told me as a missionary kid, when you go to Spain, he says, your hardest term will be your first term. And boy, was it hard. My first 3 years in Spain, I thought I would die. I thought that I would never make it. He said, if you go back for your second term and you stay there, you'll probably be a long-term missionary. A lot of times, missionaries, they give up on the first term. They're trying to learn the language. They're trying to do adjustments to their kids. And it's just too hard. But you know what? Nothing's impossible with God. We still have those missionaries who go and they stay and they stay and they stay and they stay and they stay. I know missionaries in Spain today that have been there 35 years, giving their lives for Jesus Christ, still in that country, still serving Jesus Christ. I knew missionaries in West Africa that were there 30 years. My mom and dad were there for 20 years. And then they went to Spain and were there for 16 years serving Jesus Christ. You know, just pray for your missionaries. Pray for the Lord. Pray that God will raise up laborers. I want to ask you a question. If God was to call you to be a missionary at this phase in your life, would you say yes or would you say no? You know, there's no age limit on the call of God. No age limit. Right. No age limit. People say, oh, well, you know, I'm getting retirement age. I can never do something for Christ. Hey, retired people can go be missionaries too. You have nothing else to do but travel. Why not be a traveling missionary? Amen. That'd be great to have some retired people be missionaries. You even got your Social Security already to help in your deportation. See, you got something to live on before you start. But I'm telling you, never underestimate God. I know pastors who have been pastoring and they have been called to the mission field. It's wonderful. When I was in Africa, we had a couple come out there to serve the Lord Jesus Christ when I was a young man. And this couple was instrumental in starting me on the piano. He was 65 years old. He was a medical doctor. He spent all of his life here in America. But when he turned 65, he gave his life to be a doctor in Liberia, West Africa. And he came out and was a doctor in our leprosy colony for two terms. I think maybe it was three. I'm not sure. I know it was two terms for sure. And back in those days, a term was 4 years. Four and four. So that was 8 years for sure. And he came out there and he just gave his life to be a doctor. And he helped those people spiritually and mentally and physically. And our leprosy colony, and helped heal them. And his wife was such a dear saint. She was a great piano player. And she taught all the missionary kids piano. And I was one of them. She started when I was a little old seventh grader. She started teaching me piano. And you know, I think, where would I be? Where would I have gone in music today if some guy had not one said, I'll be a missionary. I'll go and serve the Lord on the mission field. So I'm asking tonight, in the area of missions, God is still saying to go. God is still saying that this is a harvest, and God is still saying that we need to pray for the harvest to be reached. My question is, will you consider being one of those guys to go out and reach the harvest? Pastor?